We are on Shmuel Beis. We're in Perek Yotes. This is our second week in this 19th chapter. We are on page 330. We'll start from Pasuk Tes, verse 9. So Avshalom died. David was given this information in the previous chapter, and we learned about the unusual, or maybe not such unusual behavior that David showed upon finding out about this information that his son died. He was grieving and mourning, and it's natural, but of course we know Avshalom wanted to kill his own father, and because of this, he was rebuked by Yoav and others, that they just did not feel that the way that David was presenting himself was really correct. Because after all, these people literally risked their lives fighting against Avshalom and his army, his soldiers who were loyal to him, and all of a sudden he's crying and mourning over the fact that Avshalom died. What do you expect? Would you prefer that we died, that Avshalom was victorious in battle? And because of this, very, very strong pasuk, pasachet, said that if you do not do something about it, because right now you give the impression that the people that hate you, you love, and the people that love you, you don't like, you hate, even though you never said that, but it's the perception that you're siding with the enemy. What? Which means what?
Oh, I wish I was dead instead of you. I should have died instead of you, which
right.
means you protected me for nothing.
Right,
that's
right.
Worth it. That's
right. And because of that, he said, you know, if you do not do something, I know you had a difficult life. You were running away in the days of Shaul, the first king. You're running away because of your son, Shalom. I'm telling you that you will have never seen bad and terrible things that would happen to you if you do nothing than anything that's happened to you before. And basically the idea of what he was saying is that everyone is going to turn against you. Everyone is going to rebel against you because you were sending us mixed messages. So why should I show any respect to you? And we did see Pasuk Tesos, how we'll continue. V'yakum HaMelech, so he got up, he listened to the advice of others. Vayeshev Bashar, he sat down in a public manner. He was locked up in like an ivory tower, crying. Now he's out in the open. V'chol am higidu leimor, hini hamelech Yeshev Bashar. Now the king is out. He's sitting by the gate. V'yavokol am with nehamelech, and everyone came before the king. V'Yisrael nos isho halav, and those people who rebelled against him, they quietly went back to their tents. They fled to their tents because of the recognition that now people will show allegiance toward David, and because of that, they had no choice but to hide. So David did the right thing by listening to the advice and not thinking, well, I'm a king, so who are you to give me advice? He was a humble person. He recognized that sometimes people, even if they may seemingly be below you, may have insight into things that you're doing so that you should correct them.
It's interesting because that's Avshalom accused him when he spoke to Bnei Israel that he was not sitting in the shower and judging. He said, I would sit there, but he does not.
Right, that's a very good point. And this is how he shows that he is...
He learned from his son.
He learned from his son also that this is what people want. Very good, very good. Okay, so now let's see the reaction of others. Vayehi pasagiv, vayehi kol am nadon b'chol shifti Yisrael emor. So now all the people were nadon, were judging the tribes of Israel, and they said as follows, Hamelech hitzilanu mikaf oyveinu. This king, David, he was someone who saved us from our enemies, v'hu miltonu mikaf plishtim, and he saved us from the hands, from the Philistines who wished to do us harm. V'atah now, barach min ha'aretz mi'al Avshalom. And what did he do? He ran away from Avshalom. And what did we do? We joined Avshalom. We were showing more respect and allegiance to Avshalom over David. Avshalom asher mashachnu aleinu. And as far as Avshalom, we anointed, which means we acted, we thought that he would be really the next king and replace David. That was our motivation. Meis b'melchama, we realized that replacing David, David's not so good, let's get someone new, let's get someone better. You know what? New is not always better, right? Change does not always mean for the better. Sometimes change can be for the worse. And therefore, look at what we did. We anointed this guy, we thought things would be good. Now, he's no longer. V'ata, and now, lamatem macharishim, v'ashiv asamelech. Why are we macharishim? The student Sion translates shotkim. Why are we quiet? How can we be silenced from bringing back and showing respect to the king? We certainly must do something to do something. And the Mesudas David, now this, none of this is really underlined, but you can see the Mesudas David in Pasuk Yud, Kol Am Nidon, when it says, it the Nadon, the people were judging, the Mesudas David says, Hayu Mitfokshim Zetzet. They were giving each other tochacha. They were rebuking one another. And certainly this is the best manner of hocheach tocheach tamisacha, that it's not just me on this soapbox pointing fingers at you and rebuking, saying you're doing this wrong, doing that wrong, but a relationship, a give and take, that you point out things which I need improvement, and then I'll do the same to you. And that's what happened over here, that everyone was speaking to one another, and that with this recognition that in fact they should do something about it. So what do? So they realize that it's not time to be silent. So therefore they're all going to come back to David. David HaMelech. VaHaMelech David Sholach El Tzadok Vel Avyasar HaKohanim Lemor. So obviously David realized that he is now the king. He's called not just a Melech, not just David. Here you have David HaMelech. So it's clear that he now understands that his essence is the king, and he realized that everyone's going to show loyalty, everyone's going to come back to him. And therefore, David felt this is the right thing to do. Before everyone else comes, he sends a message to Tzadok and to Abiasar, Lamor, saying, Dabru el Zikni Yehuda, speak to the elders of Israel, of Yehuda, Lamor, saying, Lamatiu acharonim, why should you be the laggards, the ones who are all the way in the back? Lahashiv es hamelech el beito, that you should be the ones coming back to the king. You should not be the last ones. Udavar kol Yisrael ba'al melech el beiso. After all the people are returning and coming back to my house, and therefore shouldn't be that those who come from the tribe of Yehuda, that they should be the last ones. It would not look good if everyone else is here, and then the tribe of Yehuda is the last ones. Of course, David himself comes from the tribe of Yehuda. So therefore, of all tribes, you would think the ones that will stick by you is your family, the people that are closest to you. Those people will be on the front lines. And everyone else, hopefully, they'll join. So David is saying, you know, it'll look really bad if I have all these strangers that are coming to me, and way in the back, which shows their lack of interest or a level of hesitancy, that they were hesitant, they didn't want to come, must be that, maybe my own family, my own tribe, doesn't agree that I should be a melech. And therefore he said, you guys should come first. And he continues and says, after all, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Achai, Achai Atem, you are like my brothers. Atzmi ubesari atem. You are from my very bone and my very flesh. We have the same DNA. We come from the same tribe. V'lamatiu acharonim l'hashem es hamelech. How could it be that you would be the last ones to come to the king? So it's not, he's not doing it necessarily for his own kavod, but it's another way to strengthen Malchus based David, Malchus based Yehuda. The fact that kings come from the tribe of Yehuda. The fact that Yehuda himself, that tribe, doesn't come right away, it shows that they may not necessarily believe that David should be the king, or perhaps his successor should not necessarily come from the tribe of Yehuda. And therefore, the fact that they would come first would show no, it has to come from Yehuda, and we're willing to show our support to you. Okay, continuing in Pasuk Yudal. Pasuk Yudal now tells us specific, now we go into specific people that come back to David. Some of them in which we've heard of, we're more familiar with, who were completely rebellious against David when the chips were down by him. All of a sudden they start showing allegiance to other people. One of those people were La'amasa. La'amasa, as Rashi points out, Rashi says in Pasuk Yudal, which is what we just started, Shehu Tsar Tseva, Tamru Halo Ben Achayisi Ata. We're going to see that Amasa was also a relative of David. Amasa was David's nephew. And he was a Tsar Tseva, the person who was in charge of the army, a general, a commander. The problem was, that sounds great, the problem was that he was a commander and a general of Shalom's army. So you would imagine that when you would hear Amasa's name and Amasa's walking around, listen, those are the people that you kill right away. So probably we're going to kill Amasa. But that's not what David says. Well, Amasa Tamru, and to Amasa he said, Halo Atzmu Sari Ata. Are you not again from my own? You come from me, my bone, my flesh. It's interesting. The word Tomru over here is written with that's missing an olive. Which
not from your it, from the
no, Timurdu would be a
delicate. It doesn't mention anywhere over here the symbolism of that. Actually, if you look in the Radak points it out. The Radak does say Tomru is chaser aleph. It's missing an aleph. V'chein asher Yomuchu Lumzima, whatever exactly the source of that verse is, the Radak is pointing out that there's sometimes the word Omer could be written without an aleph. Obviously, there's a reason why it's written without an aleph. Omer is when you speak. So you can perhaps just imagine that when speaking such words, which he's going to end up showing support to Amasa, did he really feel it? Was it with all of his heart? Did he say exactly what he felt? He obviously had to do it. We're going to see why he feels that he should support Amasa, even though he rebelled against him. But maybe it wasn't with all of his words, it was with all of his feeling, because of the things that Amasa did to him. Perhaps. It's certainly worthwhile thinking about other reasons. But anyway, he says, you're also a relative of mine. Koyasili Elokim v'chol Yosef, such Hashem to do to me, should continue to do. Im lo tsar tseva tiel lefanai. I know you're a great commander. I know you're great as a leader of an army. So you should continue to do so. Lefanai kol hayamim. You should be this leader of an army all the days. Tachas Yoav. Tachas Yoav. It's difficult what exactly that means. If you look in the English, it's translated as in place of Yoav. Now, Yoav was this great guy, the general, and Yoav was a person that just gave rebuke to David.
Maybe it means under him. Oh. Like once the, you know,
right. If you look on the bottom, we'll see the Radak in a second, but you're absolutely right. If you look on the bottom over here, it says Tachas Yoav. If you look on the bottom right where it says, alternatively, the Malbim renders Tachas Yoav under Yoav, meaning that Amasa would become Yoav's deputy. Mm-hmm. Right? So it doesn't mean that he's replacing him. Mm-hmm. It means that this is Yoav, and you'll be right underneath him. If you look in the Radak, the Radak says, which is the very top line over here, what does it mean, Tachas Yoav? Kisana David as Yoav. That David was upset at David.
He hated him.
Okay, fine. David hated the thing that Yoav did. Al Shaharag es Avshalom. He was very upset that Yoav killed his son. And therefore he was removed from this position. Which, like, the problem, of course, according to that, is, excuse me, that it sounds like, you know, Yoav gave this advice. You better not show that you love the people you hate and hate the people you love. So he went to the gates, and all of a sudden he's going to replace him, as though to say, you know, the fact that you killed this enemy, this is your reward. You lose this position of power. It's hard to understand exactly what that means, but nonetheless, that's how the Radak interprets it. That's why perhaps the Malbim says, no, Tachas Yoav doesn't mean that he was completely replaced. It just means that he's underneath him. An assistant. Right? That's how the Malbim explains it. But the Radak says that Yoav made a mistake, that he should not have harmed David's son. Obviously, David felt that if Shalom's army was completely decimated, completely wiped out, and all was left was his son, Avshalom would have come back. He could have done tshuva, like he did tshuva, as we said. So he could have done tshuva. He could have not done tshuva by dying doing tshuva. He could have done tshuva alive and continued to be with his father, with David. Perhaps that's what David was bothered by. But nonetheless, that's another interpretation of Tachas Yoav. You can understand the strategic, you have to understand the idea of whether he's put underneath him or he was given this position, that clearly Amasa was a very powerful and intellectual person, certainly when it comes to the strategies of war. And perhaps the best thing you can do to your enemy is to be able to give them some position of power on your side. Because otherwise, if this person is such a powerful individual, and he was your enemy, so if you just treat him as a nobody, so he's gonna not want to live and remain peaceful in your midst. He may rebel again. He may join another rebellion. But you take that person's attributes, which perhaps were negative, were very negative. He wanted to kill, wipe out David. You turn that negative trait into something which you can use for you, something positive. And that's the goal that David had. And that's the goal that we're supposed to all have. We mentioned numerous times that in the Shema, it says we're supposed to serve God b'chol levavcha. And it says it with not one beis, but two. And Rashi over there in the Gemara Brachos says you're supposed to serve God with your Yetzer Tov and your Yetzer Hara. So you understand you can serve God with your Yetzer Tov. What does it mean with your evil inclination? If the person should take those traits, which seemingly are negative and destructive, you can channel those emotions and feelings to something positive. And that's what David was doing over here as well, appointing Amasa, who was very potentially destructive, giving him a position of power. Perhaps that's the idea of the Malbim, but Tachas Yoav, make sure that there's someone overseeing him to make sure that it doesn't get out of hand. So, nonetheless, that's something worth thinking about. The strategy of why David chose to do put Amasa in these positions and not just to let him move about. And we see that it was very effective. Vayat, Pasuk Tesvav says, Vayat es levav kol ish Yehuda ki ish echad. And it says, immediately afterwards, that he turned the hearts of all the people, ki'ish echad, like one, so almost like shvuos, that we all became like ish echad, like one, ish echad, lev echad, one heart, one thought, one mission. So it doesn't say who this was, but you can imagine, as the Radak tells us, and it's actually in the brackets over here in the English, when it says, v'yad es levav kol ish Yehuda, Amasa, hito es levav kol ish Yehuda. Once Amasa was given this position of power, so he, as we said, channeled his energies to something positive. And David was very smart. He knew that Amasa had this ability to, and probably still a lot of people that looked up to him. And therefore, by giving him this position of power, he was able to get many, many people to start thinking and showing respect to him, to David. Pasuk Tesvav continues, Yishlechu el Hamelech shuv ata v'chol avadecha. And the message was sent that you should come back to the king, you as well as all of your servants. So now everyone's going to be joining and coming to meet the king. As you remember, David was advised to cross the Yarden and basically to run away from his son. And that was the whole question: should we strike him now, a small army? Or should we wait and gather a bigger army? And because they decided to do the latter advice, David had the opportunity to flee, to go across to the eastern side of the Jordan. Mm-hmm. So now that's where he was. So what happened? So now the king is going to, David is going to come back to Yerushalayim. Yehuda ba ha-Gilgola leches likras ha-melech. And Yehuda, as David advised, also was coming to meet, to greet the king. Lahavar es ha-melech as-Yarden, which, as we said, by the Jordan where the king was. So now you have Yehuda coming, which they were stationed in a different location, and now they're coming to meet David, as well as all these other people in which David was by the Yarden. But Yemahir, yeah.
Which means that politically he's doing what he has to do, because if he can go into Yerushalayim with Shemet Yehuda aiding him, and Shemet Binyamin aiding him.
Who would, right, so that wouldn't be.
So he has to make peace with these two shvatim, otherwise he can't come back to the camp.
Absolutely.
Which is absolutely, very, because right. They're the ones that hate him.
Right, and we're
to show you how wrong he was as he being a king, the way he treated them.
We're going to see that even more clearly in the next psukim when he deals with a person who was very rebellious, cursing him, as we're going to see, and he came from the tribe of Binyamin, which we're going to see, and we're going to end up seeing in the next couple of psukim, that even though a lot of people said, kill him, kill this guy, his name's Shimi ben Ger, which we'll see in a second, David said, no. No. Right, so he, we'll see how your explanation is tied into the psukim, but certainly that must be a motivation that David has, knowing, trying to figure out a way to pull everyone together. V'yamaher Shimi ben Gera ben Hayimini, which Yimini is Binyamin, just like Mordechai in Megillat Esther is called also the Yimini, Ish Yimini. So quickly Shimi ben Gera came. He didn't waste any time. Asher Mibat Churim, this is where he came from. V'yera im Ish Yehuda Likras Hamelach David. So Shimi ben Gera was coming quickly, even to go quicker than everyone else, in order to be able to go to meet David. And it says that he went im ish Yehuda. It's interesting that Binyamin, you would think that the tribe of Binyamin and the tribe of Yehuda, there should be the greatest level of conflict between the two. Binyamin, in which came forth Shaul and
Yehuda.
Right, and Yehuda, you have David. So each one wants the positions of power and control. So Shimi ben Gera deliberately joins Yehuda as though to say, it's nothing from the tribe of Binyamin anymore. I no longer think someone from the tribe of Binyamin should become the next Melech. No, it's going to be someone from the king of Yehuda, namely you, David. And just to show that, I'm joining together with everyone, specifically from this tribe of Yehuda, to show that I am part of the of this whole deal. Ba'elef ish imo mi Binyamin. Interesting. Again, it wasn't just him, but he took other people from the tribe of Binyamin together with the people, and to join in with the people in Yehuda. But Siva nar beis Sha'ol, as well as Siva, who was the Nar, which was connected to the house of Shaul, the Chameshes Asar Banav, together with 15 of his children, the Esrim Abadav Ito, as well as 20 of his servants. So we have a whole entourage of people that are coming together with Shimi ben Gera. Obviously, Shimi realizes that what did he do that was so bad? He was rebellious. Remember, he took dirt, he was throwing it, he was kicking it, cursing, throwing things at David. Didn't actually physically harm him, hit him, but with terrible words, the worst curses imaginable. Right? And now all of a sudden, here's David at the top. So what's Shimi going to do? He can be killed in a blink of an eye. And perhaps that will be what happens to him, as we'll see now. So the pasuk continues, V'tzolchu hayard lifnei hamelech, v'tzolchu mitzudas, Sion translates, v'avru, and they crossed, and they passed through the Jordan to go lifnei hamelech, to get to speak to the king. So this is their motivation of running and getting as close and fast to the king as possible. Not only Yehuda, who's trying to get there first before everyone else, but also Shimi ben Gera.
Hatzlacha comes from that word, actually. Zolfo.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right.
Yeah.
It sounds it. And the next three words are so interesting.
That's a tongue twister.
It's a mind twister too. What is an avara? That they cause to the vid, they're doing tshuva.
What is avara mean?
The mesunas.
Avara is a chet.
Avera?
Yes.
Let's focus on that translation. So let's just get the simple translation first. If you look at the Mesudas Sion, the Pasuk Hates, the second word in this Pasuk, Avara, says Mesudas Sion, actually Rashi I think also says the same thing, Ratzalomer Svina Sheobrim Ba Rochav Hamayim.
A ferry.
Yeah,
right.
Some type
ferry.
Of a boat. Right.
Because it goes over.
But at the same time, it has other meanings.
So what is, how is an Avera like a...
What they have done to David, the Avera that they did to David, and could be that David did to them, is passing as they're crossing, they're passing the Avera. The hatred towards each other,
is passed.
Which should be wrong to hate someone. They hate David, David hated them because of what the cursing and so on and so forth. They're passing it now. They're doing tshuva.
Oh, so
it's a pun.
Pass,
it's a pun.
Yes. But it's very suitable. It explains this whole thing.
It's a play on words.
They are trying to console each other. They're trying to appease each other. They're passing.
It's an interesting. I never thought of it this way, but perhaps. You know, when a person does something wrong to another person, the expression in English is that I've been crossed or double crossed, which is really what you're doing when you're doing an avera. God is telling you to do certain things, and you have double, you crossed him, you crossed over the line. Right, and that's what avra means. It's the same thing. That's what a boat does. It's bringing you from one, it's crossing you from one place to the next, and that's what avera is. You're going from one place where you should be to another place.
Exactly.
Perhaps that's a connection. You can always, right.
I'm doing it.
It could be a round trip.
Right. Well, that's what Barry
back.
Does.
Takes you back and forth.
That's what a fairy does. Exactly.
Right. So that's a nice way of looking at it. It certainly is an interesting. These three words are kind of hard to read.
One follows the other. There are three words following each other, which you can use. Can be used. Very interesting.
Oh, very good. So this ferry, this boat, is going as Beis Hamelech La'asoyis Hatoyed Be'enav. So for David to go swimming across the Jordan, it would not be befitting for a king to do so, even if it's a short distance. So he would be going on this boat. And together with David was everything from Beis HaMelech, from all his household, V'lasoy Satoiv Be'enav. So together with this fairy, that they would do everything which is good in his eyes. V'shimi ben Gera Nafal Lifnei HaMelech Ba'avru B'yardein. And as soon as David was seen by Shimi immediately fell upon the ground in front of the king, by the Yardin. Okay. Again, but what does that have to say? Ba'avro Yardin. Again, it seems like very repetitive. That's where he just was. That's where they are. But nonetheless, that's what's happening. So he's prostrating himself and crying and doing tshuva. Hopefully, David won't kill him. V'yomer el hamelech. Obviously, he must have been given permission to speak. And he speaks to the king. Al yachashov li adoni avon. Please do not think my master, upon my sin. Yal tiskar eis asher he'eva avdecha b'yom asher yotza Adoni HaMelech Yerushalayim. Please do not remember that which I have done to you on the day asher yotza Adoni HaMelech Yerushalayim. So, from the day in which my master have left forth from Yerushalayim. So please do not remember. Vasum hamelech elibo, to place this into your heart, that you should take it to heart, as it's translated over here. You shouldn't pay any attention. Now, if you look over here, obviously there's a reason behind this. I didn't see anyone that talks about it. I don't know why, as to why there are these dots on the word yatsa. Right? It says from the time that the king has left from Yerushalayim. It's interesting that in the way that's actually written in the Tanakh, it's with these dots on these words. The asterisk is telling us, if you look on the right side, it says Nakud. Right. It tells that they're actually vowels, or these cantillation marks.
I wonder if it's because it doesn't say Barach.
Why Yatzah almost seems like he's strolling out, as opposed to...
He's going out. It's not running out. It's like...
It could be. That's certainly possible.
I don't know.
Possible.
It's not escaping.
Oh. It's something...
Maybe he was using a nice euphemism.
That's right.
Instead of saying, you ran... He just left. He was being nice to him. Yes. That could be. He's trying to supplicate him.
That could
he doesn't
be.
Want to say the wrong thing.
He's
trying to be politically,
politically very correct.
That could be. That could be. I was once told, I forgot the Hebrew expression, that someone who is in Yerushalayim, someone who's living outside of Israel, but possibly their heart is still in Yerushalayim. You've heard of that expression before?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's interesting, maybe, that even though David physically left Yerushalayim, but maybe he was... He wasn't completely. It's to emphasize
back.
He...
That's why they said that he looks back as he leaves. Remember when he runs away?
His
he
longing
looks back,
to...
He turns around, looking at Yerushalayim, and the pirush was that his heart was still in Yerushalayim.
Yeah, so maybe that's also what it means, that he physically left, but he never really completely left. Okay, but it's also possible he wanted to speak in a nicer way, so as not to make it seem like that the king was just... fleeing for his life, which is the truth.
Be careful of his words.
Smart move, for sure. He can be killed. There's nothing to talk about. I sinned. Chatasi, which is the most important thing that a person can say. One simple word. Chatasi. I am wrong. I'm not going to justify my actions. I'm not going to pretend and make up excuses. Chatasi. I made a mistake. I was wrong. Vihini Basi Hayom Rishon Lchobes Yosef Loredes Likras Adoni Hamelach. And now that I've acknowledged I'm sin, I'm telling you that I'm here now today because I want to be able to make right for that mistake that I made. Right? He said, that's what he says. I came here together with Bais Yosef, with the house of Yosef, to greet you. So the question is, what does it mean that he came with Beit Yosef? It mentioned that he came with, Yosef comes forth from, right? But he had Yehuda, he had Binyamin, all right? So what exactly does that mean, he came with Beit Yosef? It's a very interesting explanation brought down over here in the Radak. Again, I apologize, it's not underlined, but it's in Pasukov Aleph, where it says, in the Radak, the whole base is to Israel. If you see the second line, the fourth and fifth words before that line ends, it says, V'yesh bo drash. And then it's in parentheses, it's Medrash Tehillim, Gimel Gimel. Does anyone see where that is? It's about five lines or so from the bottom. What does it mean, Beis Yosef? What do you mean that he was coming together with Beis Yosef? It's not true. So he was trying to remind David not of what's happening now, but what happened in history before with another Yosef, the original Yosef, Yosef at Tzadik. Armulo Shimi la David. What did Shimi say? He said, Achav shel Yosef. Remember that Yosef, he had some brothers. And unfortunately, things didn't work out so well between them. So what ended up happening? We know that Yosef was sold. He was thrown into a prison. Fortunately, things worked out in the end. He became viceroy of Egypt. Gamal also Ra'ah. What did his brothers do? They did not treat him properly. Begamum tova. But nonetheless, even though Yosef was mistreated, Yosef, when it came down to it, and Yosef was the viceroy, he could have killed his brothers with just one word. Instead, he was nice to them. He acknowledged that they made a mistake. They admitted that they were wrong. They were crying. They were embarrassed. And therefore, he didn't do them any harm. He was able to forgive and to forget and to be able to move forward and to look good. Kach ani. I am the exact same way. Ani gamalticha ra'ah. Gamalni ata tova. I know I did something bad for you, but I'm asking you if you can do the same thing that Yosef did, please do for me good.
Shimi
is saying this to Yosef, to David.
Yosef also did bad to his brothers.
Everything.
What's that?
He teased them. Yosef is not perfect, and they were able to ask him for forgiveness, and he forgave them. Put him in the same position.
Yeah. Right, that they asked.
Ways.
They asked Yosef for
both ways. Right. Being bad and being good.
Right. Right. Exactly. Very good. And that's so he's kind of saying, try to emulate the ways of our forefathers and Yosef. So this is the model of a behavior. It's not unusual. So, well, you can maybe say, because we're going to see that. Which this is a very interesting word, Doc, because we're going to see that some people disagreed. Avishai is going to say, kill him. He cursed you, he rebelled, Mordechai ben Malchus, and a king is not allowed to be forgiving of his honor. If he just lets people walk all over him, he's going to lose all the respect of that which is needed, which is due to a king.
Except to their brothers. Except to your brother. If your brother, you have to be in one house.
Which is interesting that David calls him Atzmi Vasariyat, and he says Achi, he calls them brothers, he uses that term. But I was going to say also, in addition to that, Yosef was also a king. He was second to the king, but he was in a similar position of power as David. And Yosef was able to
forgive.
So you also hopefully will be able to somehow find the way to forgive. So he's kind of saying, if David would look at it and say, you know what, maybe I should forgive him, but I'm not allowed to forgive. I'm in this position of power. He's saying, you know what, there's already been this precedent which has been set that a leader is allowed to forgive, and therefore perhaps you can do the same. We look at Rashi. The Radak also says another explanation. The Rashi says a little bit more clearly. The Rashi in Pasuk Chaf Aleph gives another interpretation of what it means, Rishon Ulchol Beis Yosef. Kol Yisrael Chetu Ulchol. All of the Jewish people sinned to you. When it says Yosef, and through various psukim, which the Radak says, hints to, it means everyone, right? We are all encompassing of that which Yosef represents. Dani Yosef Mekulam. But I want to tell you, even though we all made a mistake, I don't want to just hide in the crowd. Dani Yosef Mekulam. I did the worst. I was the worst. Was he the worst? All right, he's saying he was the worst. I'm here now, I'm asking you, David, my king, please forgive me. Now, this is what's very interesting. He says, this very interesting mind game that Shimi plays. Mm-hmm. If you accept, in fact, accept my tshuva, and you forgive me, and you allow me to live, everyone else rebelled against you. But if you forgive me, and then certainly, right, everyone will say, you know what, it must be that he'll forgive me as well. And therefore, everything will be fine and good, and then we're not going to be petrified, we're going to be able to see what it means to accept someone's forgiveness. Otherwise, people are going to be petrified. Right. If you kill me, people are going to say, well, not Kavachomer that he'll kill me, but maybe he's going to kill me. I don't know. And therefore, people are not going to want, people are going to be scared, people are not going to want to talk to you, people are not going to have anything to do with you. And therefore, by you setting the tone, by you allowing me to do tshuva, and for me to show forgiveness, then other people will wish. The point isn't that, so if he's killed, so what, then all the people are going to be scared. The point is that other people will maybe not wish to try to join David, because if David knows all these whole list of people that rebelled, if I was one of those people, I could run and hide, Or if I know that David is going to forgive me, then I'm going to become one of his loyal servants. So if you're able to forgive me, Shimei says, then people are going to say, you know what? Definitely he'll forgive me, and now I'm going to become one of his loyal servants. It'll be better for you, David, for you to forgive me.
He's also talking to David, who's always talking to Hashem and saying, I sin, forgive me. I strayed away, but I know where you are, and I'm talking to you, I'm asking you to forgive me. He's talking to a man who constantly confesses.
Right. Right. We're gonna see in the next time that David's response of having to accept forgiveness, which we're gonna get a little bit more in depth into this next time, is that David realized that if he doesn't accept Mechila, if he doesn't accept Hashem, that how could Hashem accept my tshuva? If I am asking Hashem for Mechila, and I am not willing to forgive other people who are not perfect, so why would God accept anything from me? Because the way Hashem works is Mida Keneged Mida, as we're going to see more in depth inside, and that if I am exact and everything has to be perfect, and if it's not perfect, I'll never forgive you, that's exactly how Hashem deals with you. That's the way that God will deal with you. And Hashem will say, oh, you're a perfectionist? In other words, if someone does something wrong that you'll never forgive them, then if you do anything wrong, we all do things wrong, then Hashem will not forgive you either. And therefore, David, as we're going to see, is going to forgive Shimei, even against the words of Avishai, because he's going to say, because this whole thing came about, because I made a mistake, and I want Hashem to forgive me. And the only way I'm capable of being forgiven is if I'm able to somehow find a way to forgive others. Stop here.